This is the Radio Today programme. We're back together a couple of weeks after the Arias, and I'm at Roy's house.
I just heard you say Arias then and thought, no, it's not the Arias anymore, but it is the Arias. It's not the Sonys anymore. Get confused.
Keep up.
I know, right? We're in sunny Dorset.
Hello. Thanks for having us this weekend.
It's good. We're actually in person together rather than opposite ends of the country. And we thought, well, seeing as we're here together on a sofa with microphones, we may as well bang one out, as they say.
And your studio is just next door, but we're not using that. We're just sat on the sofa instead. Because that's the podcast way. You don't need a radio studio to make a podcast.
Exactly. We thought, well, we'll stand together in this small room with the studio, with the humming of the computer. Or we'll sit on a sofa where it's probably more sound dampening. So we're here instead.
And we've got a few things to talk about on this episode. It's not a particularly long one, but you have some audio that you're going to play to us because you've been out and about doing things in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's always good to get out. And where possible now that we're back in podcast mode, I tend to take my big microphone with me. I went to the other side of Dorset to Air Radio, A-I-R, not A-I-R-E, as in Radio Air in Leeds, and not Air as in A-I-I-R, which is the software broadcast.
And not Hair as in H-A-I-R, which neither of us have.
That's right. Speak for yourself. So I went there. Jamie, the big boss, has come in along with a few others to help save a community radio station in Weymouth. So they've built a new studio. They got kicked out of their old place, which was part of an educational establishment. They kind of saved the station from going down and relaunched it. So I was lucky enough to get an invite and went there. So we'll talk to Jamie a little bit later on.
And from one of the smallest radio stations in the country to one of the biggest radio groups.
Yeah, so I also popped into Bower as well and spoke to a couple of people during the Anton Deck hosted biggest quiz ever, Guinness World Record, which you can find out whether they broke or not by reading it on Radio Today, or keep listening in about 15 minutes, we'll tell you.
Super. Talking of Bower, let's start there on our little chat this week, actually, because some reports in the tabloids over the last few days that Zoe Ball might be heading back to commercial radio, obviously after many years with the BBC. She was previously at XFM. I can see your mind ticking.
Don't tell them my mind's ticking. They can't see that. I was thinking, was she in commercial radio?
She was indeed. So yeah, between Radio 1 Breakfast and then appearing back at Radio 2, she was on XFM. Was she on Breakfast at XFM maybe even?
I didn't even know she was there, so you know everything.
But anyway, so she last did regular shows for Radio 2 just before Christmas last year. I think she's done a few specials, now doing a podcast with Joe Wiley, which is an independent production, not a BBC podcast. And reports suggest she may be joining Greatest Hits Radio.
Ooh, a collective from the radio industry. So this appeared in The Sun and various others a couple of nights ago as we record, so Friday night last week. It's all speculative. I did ask Bower to comment and they said, we will not comment. They did add that it is speculative. So, okay. I mean, normally they give me a heads up to say we're not commenting on this at the moment, which kind of suggests that there's something there. But to say, no, it's all speculative, suggests it might not be true or is not a done deal.
So. Yeah, and we don't believe everything we read in the newspapers, but I suppose she's talked on her podcast as Zoe about auditioning for the Strictly presenting job and missing out on that and not getting it. And obviously isn't doing any regular radio. We know she's a big fan of radio, lover of radio, and has done radio for a long, long time. So Greatest Hits has seen lots of ex-BBC people join, of course. Radio 2 colleagues like Simon Mayo and Ken Bruce and Paul Gambaccini and others. So might be an interesting place for her to turn up. Wonder whether she would be on the weekday lineup, whether she would just be doing perhaps a weekend show. Who knows?
Well, that is the question, of course. And you've got to ask where she's going to go. She could even replace Ken.
That's controversial.
Ken's not going to stay there forever.
True.
And I'm sure he's fed up of reading out commercial scripts now.
He's not. He told me the other week he was enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
No, he's not staying there forever, of course. So is she going to take over mid-mornings? Is she going to do breakfast? Is Simon Rossi Ross going to make way for her. Let's find out eventually. But is she going to do weekends, like you say?
Yeah, as you say, complete speculation. I suppose coming in doing a weekend show, you're on the station then to do cover for weekday presenters. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, if Ken's not going to be there in another few years, then might be a successor for him at some point in the future. So it's going to be one to watch, and we'll look forward to hearing an official announcement if it happens at some point in the next few months.
It's a very big if.
Be a good coup for them, though, I think, for Bauer and Greatest Hits, getting another big BBC name.
It would, and it certainly follows their track record of stealing presenters from Radio 2, like you say.
Let's stay with Radio 2. Bob Harris this week announced he's stepping back from his Radio 2 shows. Obviously, here at Radio Today, we send all our best to Bob as he concentrates on his health and getting himself well again. He's been off air on Sounds of the 70s for, I think, 3 months now, since start of March, was on the country show till the start of April. So it's been a couple of months since he's actually been on air at Radio 2. Sean Keaveney's been covering Sounds of the 70s, which he now gets on a permanent basis. Darius Rucker has been looking after the country show on Radio 2, and I think he's going to carry on doing that in an interim basis as well. So all the best to Bob. Really sad to hear that he's not well and that his health is stopping him coming back on air. So let's hear a little bit of Bob with his message to the Radio 2 listeners.
I just want to reflect for a moment, if I may, because I'm thinking how amazing it is that my broadcasting career has spanned almost 56 years. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I have to say, I've loved every moment I've spent behind a microphone. It's where I belong, let's face it. And I'm very, very fortunate to have spent my entire working life doing something I love so much. I am a massive BBC loyalist, and I'm very, very grateful that the BBC has always given me the freedom to build my own programmes in my own way. I've always curated my own playlists, supported new artists, and played the music I really believe in. And I'm very proud to know that my work has touched so many people's lives. Every single programme I've ever done has been a team effort, and I really do want to acknowledge some of the main people who've helped and supported me along the way. A massive thank you to Jeff Griffin, the producer who discovered me way back in 1970. He produced my early Radio 1 shows beginning in August 1970, and he was the man who taught me so many of the program building skills I still apply to this day. In fact, he and Mike Appleton were my trusted guides through the early days of my career. Mike, of course, was the founder and producer of the Old Grey Whistle Test, who stuck with me as a presenter through those very early days when I think I was pretty rubbish, actually. But our partnership grew from 1972 to become one of the most influential music and broadcasting collaborations of the 1970s. I'm so proud of what we achieved at Whistle Test, and so proud of the legacy of the programme and the archive we created at that time. Thanks also to Adam Dineen and Paul Rogers at BBC Six Music. I still have such affection for the station, and it was truly exciting to be part of the original lineup of presenters on launch day in March 2002. But the majority of my time on the radio has been spent with my fabulous family here at BBC Radio 2. And it's been such a joy to broadcast on this world-class radio station, my Champions League, for the past 30 years. It was Jim Moyer and Leslie Douglas who gave me my first show in 1996. And I can honestly say that I've enjoyed every moment here ever since. Deepest thanks go to Bob Shannon and wonderful Helen Thomas for their incredible support and belief in me over the past few years. I've been blessed to work with some of the greatest producers ever. Gratitude to Phil Swern and Mark Simpson on my much-loved weekend shows, and the fabulous Listen team of Paul Thomas, Johnny California, Liz Barnes, and Radio Mariam on Sounds of the 70s. And a big mention to editor Neil Miners, whose brilliant work helped us win two Sony Awards in 2008 and 2009 for the documentaries The Day John Met Paul and The Sandy Denny Story. I've absolutely loved working with my partners on The Country Show. Dave Shannon, who took me to Nashville for the first time in 1999. I still so vividly remember that moment. Sue Welsh, Al Booth, Paul Mann, and my great friend Mark Hagen. I'm so proud that the programme has played such a massive part in propelling country to become the fastest growing music genre in the UK. You've all made my time at Radio 2 the most special of my entire life. But more than anything, I want to say thank you to my listeners. I put everything I have into every show I've ever done, and it's all been because of you. I feel so blessed to have had your support across so many years. Your love and loyalty mean more to me than words can ever say. I'm so sorry that my health issues are forcing me to step down, but I realise that I must concentrate now on getting myself well again. This has been one of the hardest decisions of my entire life, but I would never want to be doing programmes knowing that I'm unable to give you 100%. I'm really going to miss you. I love you very, very much. Thank you for listening.
That's the great Whispering Bob Harris. I did interview Bob. I was looking back. I think it's about 15 years ago. We did an interview for Radio Today back in 2011. I'll see if I can dig out the audio from that and we'll share that because that was a good interview. I think it was about Old Grey Whistle Test's 40th anniversary or something like that at the time. But great to, you know, to have a chat with a legend like Bob Harris. And we've seen him at events and stuff a few times over the year as well. So, yeah, best of health to Bob as he hopes to get back fighting fit.
Yep, taking a look at the Radio Today news pages, a couple of stories worth mentioning. Ofcom has finalised its finished its consultation on how to implement the new requirements from the Media Act from a couple of years ago.
Oh, right.
A lot of things to do with that, including obviously the more networking and things like that, they've finalised. One of the things that they're working on is to make sure that people who own DAB digital radio multiplexes display their rate cards on their websites, which most do currently. Mm-hmm.
The small-scale DAB operators have to as part of the license requirements anyway.
Yep, so people like Folder and other not small, but medium-sized operators are doing because they're good. But some don't. I don't think Arqiva does, but does this mean Arqiva has to as well as a national operator, mm-hmm. or is this just local?
I would guess so.
I think it's, yeah, so everybody. And there is a website called getmeondigitalradio.com, which is made by Folder Media. And they have listed pretty much every multiplex in the land and provided links to rate cards as well. So if you do want to put a radio station on DAB, want to know how much it costs, then that is the place to do it. Currently, getmeondigitalradio.com, and all the prices will be public. So it's a bit of an even playing field.
And Ofcom already requires stations to pay their license fees on time as well, doesn't it, Roy?
So moving on. We never talked about this in the prep, did we?
Oh, yeah, I just sprung that one on you there.
You did. I mean, are you even a proper radio station if you haven't had an Ofcom breach? Okay, if you don't know, I run...
You got a breach for your license, did you, Roy?
I run two radio stations under one license, and that license company got a breach for not paying on time. It did pay.
Yep.
I say it was me. I just literally missed the first email and the second email and the letters which arrived at my registered office. But I thankfully found the third email that said, we're thinking of breaching you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I forgot all about this. It's one of those where you see an email and you maybe, you know, on the road or whatever, or out in an event, and you think, oh, I'll deal with that later, and you don't. So, yeah, I hold my hand up. And shout out to John Ryan, who a few weeks earlier got a similar breach, and I may have taken the mick a little bit. And thankfully, he hasn't messaged me back to say, oh, it's your turn, is it? But it happens to, you know, all the best people, yes. Obviously, who run radio stations.
Yeah, pay your bills on time.
Yeah, but it is a bit, it's bad how you can get an actual breach of a radio station for simply paying an invoice late. Imagine if the world ran like that. Oh, this invoice is late. You're going down.
Well, let's see what happens when I send my invoice to Radio Today for this podcast hosting. See how quickly that gets paid. If I have to send you a third reminder, I'm adding 20% to the bill.
Moving on. Yeah, no, it's one of those things.
Let's talk about jingles.
Well, that's a much lighter conversation, isn't it? Yeah, the wise Buddha people, have recently done lots of good things. In particular, they've done a few new cuts for Sky Radio. Sky Radio. Yeah. And do you want to hear one?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, here it goes. Sky Radio. Sky. Non-stop.
Greatest hits. Sky Radio. Sky. Greatest hits. Top 500. Sky. Greatest hits. Top 500. Sky Radio. Greatest hits.
There you go, some new audio from Wise Buddha for Sky Radio. You can hear the full package on wisebuddha.com. They've also done recent stuff for Radio 2, of course. They are the providers of Radio 2 jingles. SWR1 in Germany and Nova in Australia, amongst dozens of other radio stations around the world.
Now, as well as paying your invoices on time and responding to Ofcom emails, you should probably check your OBIT material. Make sure that it's all up to date and ready to go when you need it, and make sure it doesn't accidentally get played on air when it's not supposed to.
So this is Radio Caroline, ding ding, who, I don't know how this happened, and I don't think they know how it happened either, but they played out a message to say the king had died, mm-hmm. which obviously he hadn't.
Has he not?
No, he's still very much breathing and conscious. But kudos to Radio Caroline for actually having that OBIT audio ready, because I certainly haven't.
No, I don't think I have. We had stuff ready for Prince Philip and we had stuff ready for the Queen.
I think people had that ready for about 20 years.
Yeah.
and there's a few false starts on that, weren't there? But I don't know of anybody other than Caroline that's got that ready. So I'm going to make that. I'm going to get that ready.
Yeah, I think the BBC and the big companies and big groups probably have, but some of the smaller stations might not have done. We certainly haven't got anything ready at our station. If we learnt that he wasn't very well, then we perhaps might get our house in order. But you never know when something's going to happen, do you? There could be an accident. There could be an incident. So having the best preparation is always good, but just don't put it on air by accident.
Exactly. And Radio Fail put it on their website, which then I ran a story on Radio Today. And then pretty much the entire world's media ran the story about it. So I do apologise to Caroline for putting that out there. But it's given them lots of fantastic publicity, hasn't it?
Good luck to all the sports radio stations starting their World Cup coverage this week. They're on at weird times of days. A lot of the matches are in the evening or overnight. So that presents extra challenges for coverage and reaction, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think a lot of the staffing, probably by TalkSport, the BBC and various other places, is less than in previous tournaments in terms of the send to a tournament abroad. So more being done from back at base and off-tube commentaries and things like that.
It'll certainly increase the overnight listening on some stations.
This is true. This is true. And in our prep notes here, you've written Bauer shareholding. What's that mean?
So a little interesting nugget of information. Do you remember when...
Well, hang on a minute. People have just discovered that we've got prep notes.
Yeah, I know, right? This is the first time I've made any notes. You can probably tell. You remember when Bauer went on a spending spree and bought like four radio groups in 2020?
Yeah, 2019, 2020. Yeah. UKRD and Wireless Group, or the Bits of News UK, and what were the other ones called? Lynx Group. Did they buy another one as well? Was that it?
It was four, wasn't it, in total?
Oh, Celador.
So, yeah, the interesting nugget of information I have to share is that the people who had the shareholding in those stations that were sold have only just received their final payments.
Oh.
Yeah. So I've got a little bit of money this week to play with because I had shares in UKRD.
This is why we've had a party at your house, is it?
That's right, yeah.
So you had shares in UKRD.
Yeah.
And UKRD sold out to Bauer.
Yeah. So most of the money was given at the time in various installments over a couple of years.
But, well, you've had this new kitchen about 4 or 5 years now.
Exactly. It all makes sense, doesn't it? All makes sense. And now we've had a new staircase, so thank you for that. But there's a five-year something or other that means that they have to keep like a bit
deferred,
of money.
A deferred consideration, I think they call it.
That's it. You know more than me. They have to keep some in case something happens or they need money for something, and that's all gone now. So they've given away the last bit of the money to the shareholders.
Excellent.
After all this time.
Drinks are on you.
Yeah, and you can buy the ice creams.
Right, I think that's it from us for now, is it? So we're going to hear from Air, from Air in Dorset, and we're going to hear from Roy's trip to Bower and the fundraising for Cash for Kids that was done by the world's biggest quiz. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back again another time.
Let's do it again soon.
Okay.
Well, it's our grand opening day today. We've had the Lord Lieutenant of Dorset, Michael Doody, opening us up today, official opening for our new studios. Air was in a bit of trouble last November. Financial troubles, was ready to close. I stepped in, paid some of the debts, and decided to invest and bring back community radio. It's been a lot of hard work, it's what the town deserves, I think. We need a community radio station. There's volunteers here. Yeah, it's just a great connection and a great part of town, really.
And what's the big plan now?
The big plan is just to keep on growing, really. Just keep the volunteers coming in, keep the advertising coming in to pay the bills, expand our reach if possible, go on DAB, which is due to come in the area soon. Just keep afloat, keep alive, which is quite hard for community radio stations nowadays. So we're just trying to stay afloat and do our thing.
So, Andy Ashton, Network Content Director for Greatest Hits Radio.
And tell us what's happening today.
Well, today has been the culmination of pretty much a whole year's worth of work. So, we were challenged by Cash for Kids team last year as a portfolio stations to come up with something a little bit different, a really big idea that could bring all of our radio stations together. And really demonstrate the power of Bower and our portfolio. And so I had the winning idea, which was to do the world's biggest music quiz. And I think it comes from the fact that, you know, what unites all of our radio stations as Bower, it's music. And obviously from a greatest hits radio point of view, we have Popmaster every day, which, as we know, is the most listened to half hour in commercial radio. And what better than a quiz to sort of celebrate music and a music quiz. So that's where the idea came from. But really what this is today is testament to how Bower teams can come together and collaborate, because to take that idea and then turn it into what we've had today, which has just been an incredible radio event, has taken so much work across all of our portfolio, all of our departments. And and to have talent like Ant and Dec in the building to host it, it's just been the icing on the cake, really.
And technical question, name every station taking this quiz today.
Oh gosh, I mean, it's all of our big Bower stations, and bringing that together with James Walker and his team in terms of the whole challenge of bringing all these radio stations together in one moment has just been absolutely huge, you know. But they've managed to do it and pull it off. So, you know, it's been all-encompassing from a Bower point of view.
And was it a bit of a technical nightmare, or was it a simple case of putting the fader up in each studio?
No, it really was very complex. I don't even know half the details because that's not my department. But yeah, in terms of broadcast ops, it's been a huge challenge actually to be able to do this. But again, just brilliant collaboration and just a fantastic task for everyone to get around and collaborate on. So, and that's what we're all about. You know, we probably couldn't have done this, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, but I think it's testament to how the culture in Bower has developed and how, you know, we really are one big team, and these sorts of big ideas give us the opportunity to demonstrate that. So, yeah.
and Anton Deck in the building. Wouldn't it be great for UK radio if Anton Deck said yes to a breakfast show somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it reminds you, not that you need reminding, but just what a class act they are. And, you know, to hear them deliver that and to just come in, sit down and the mics go up and they're on it, you know, just complete pros. And yeah, absolutely. It probably is a bit of an anomaly that they've never done that, you know, at a national level. But yeah, fantastic to have them in today. And who knows what might happen in the future. You know, maybe they've got the taste for it and they might want to do more.
I'm Sally Aitchison and I'm the Managing Director for Cash for Kids across the UK. So this has been phenomenal. This is a radio first for Bauer. So we've had every single radio brand coming together for a simulcast show. We've been aiming to set a world record of the world's biggest music quiz across the UK, encouraging people to sign up for the quiz, but also make a donation to Cash for Kids because it's Cash for Kids Day. So the whole purpose of this is it's all for Cash for Kids Day. So Cash for Kids raise money for disadvantaged children across the UK. And we're a grant-making charity, so we distribute funds to all of the local communities across the UK for poverty, for life-limiting illness, for additional support needs. And today has all been around focusing on us and raising money. It's a lovely day for the team. I can't take the credit for this. Seriously, there have been so many people involved in making this happen. We've had Anton Deck here today doing the quiz live. We've had Ken Bruce doing his Popmaster live. It's all powered by Popmaster, of course, the world's favourite quiz. And so it's been phenomenal. A lot of moving parts, really, really successful. It sounded great. People have played along with the quiz and we've raised a lot of money.
How much have you raised so far, do you know? And how many people took part?
So in terms of taking part, it was over 6,000 people took part. We will be announcing the figure of over 2 million. It'll be 2.1 million-ish, probably a lot more because people are doing a lot of fundraising for us beyond today. So all of the money raised today, together with the money we've raised this year, will all be distributed. We'll be doing a grant round very soon to get that money out of the door. So very excited about that because that's the most important part is how many children we can support. We think with the amount we've raised, we should be able to help about 95,000 children, probably over that.